what we've been talking about some weeks, and a little recap for those who are new. So it's really funny, the scripture she started with this morning talked about the wings. And we've been talking a little bit about eagles. There's something I wanted to share about it. And really quick, so those of you who have been here, you'll know this, but we've got a lot of people who haven't. So in the Bible, the eagle's mentioned 32 times. Their average lifespan is about 70 years old, an eagle, a bald eagle. So those of you bald are in good company, 72 years old. So God relates a lot of things in Scripture to eagles. This, my favorite scripture is Isaiah 40:31. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. So those of us who are tired, those of us who need renewed, just wait upon the Lord. But that wait is not a passive wait. It's not, okay, I'm going to wait on God and do nothing. If you go into the Hebrew, it actually means to bind together. It's an active. So those who bind together with God will renew their strength. So you have to actually choose, okay, God, I'm taking, like she said this morning, I'm taking promises, I'm taking these things that you've said and your faithfulness, and I'm binding myself to that. So when you're weak, in him, you're strong because you're getting bound together with God. So those who bind themselves together with God shall renew their strength. You shall then mount up with wings as eagles. And an eagle chooses its mate very carefully. And I've talked about stick droppers before. We had somebody coin the term, don't date a stick dropper. The female eagle will do a ritual to choose a mate and find logs, well, it starts with small sticks and drop them in midair, and the male eagle will fly up. I was going to say run. He doesn't run. He flies, and he catches the stick, and he brings it at her feet. And so she tests him over and over again. And once he's passed that test, they mate for life. Do you know they're monogamous, and they mate for life? They actually join talons, and they begin to sing a, I'll say that one more time. They're monogamous, and they mate for life. I didn't get many cheers for that. They're monogamous, and they mate for life. But they join talons together, and they sing a love song together in the air as they spin around. It's a beautiful thing. So that's kind of like their ceremony, right? They're smart. Eagles are smart. So they do that, and then they build their nest together, and they build it on three sticks or logs together in the shape of a triangle. Firm foundation. They've got the foundation. They begin to build things on top of that, and they use one nest for their entire life. Unlike other birds who build a nest and abandon it, the eagle makes sure the nest is strong. The nest can handle all of its kids. It's kind of like Miranda. You've got a lot of kids. So you got to make sure you got a house and a family that handles all of that. And so the eagles are strong. They pick the right place. They build the right size nest because they know they're going to have a lot of kids. And they bring in and they use it every year. So when it gets weathered, when it gets older, they remove the old branches and they put in new branches. And they even use live vine to tie the branches together. And they keep building that nest. So the more that they've been together, the stronger and the bigger that nest and more secure is. So the eagle does that, and it puts a hedge of thorns on the outside of the nest to protect from predators. And then it puts a hedge of thorns on the inside of the nest. That almost sounds a little cruel. Because you know who's inside the nest? The children, the babies. But the eagle covers those thorns with furs, its own feathers, and anything comfortable for the babies. So the babies don't feel it when they first hatch. So they lean against the side of the nest, and they feel very comfortable. Oh, I could stay here forever. This is a nice little rabbit fur I'm laying on. And they stay there. And as they get older, the eagle begins to remove some of those things in the nest that the eagles have leaned against during this time. Why? Because the eagle doesn't want eaglets that cannot support or stand on their own feet. He doesn't want the eagles that are so leaning on on the side of the nest that they don't know how to actually stand. God's the same way. You first become a Christian, it's wonderful, right? Remember that? For some of you. It was for me. It was like, wow. And I even thought the church was like Christ, which really blew my mind. I assumed everybody was going to be loving and everybody was going to be merciful. And I was 14 and my life changed completely. And then all of a sudden, I began to learn through my Sunday school teacher, believe me or not, the first time when she told me that lifting my hands up in church, I was going to go to hell. That was what I was taught. So, believe me, all of you who did that today, let me tell you, it's not true. And it was a Baptist church, and now I know that they don't believe that. But again, a person said that, so I took it for what the church said. You can't do that. You can't take what one person in this church says as what this church believes. If you have a question, please see Pastor Deb, myself, or Pastor Jonathan. We'll tell you what we actually believe. But we don't believe some of the things that some people may say we believe. So I knew then that my life was changed, but that it was going to be me and God from that point on. Thankfully, I realized that young, because when I came to terms with my sexuality, had I needed to have someone else affirm me, I would have been in a lot of trouble, because there were no affirming church. Let me tell you, MCC started after that. Troy Perry started that in the 80s, I believe, and it was way after that. So there were no, you guys really don't understand what you've got here, do you? I mean, the older ones, TJ, we know what it was like. There were no affirming churches, folks, anywhere. And now we have, I can go this one, go this one. I don't like the way this music is. I don't like the way this sermon is. We didn't have anything. And so what we thought we had to do was change. But God didn't agree with that. So as you study the scripture, you begin to realize that's not what he actually says. So as a good eagle, the mother of the eagle is kind of like the church. The mothers nurture. They protect. Robbie, you're a mother bear. I've seen you with your kids. You're going to protect your kids because you know that they need, well, not now, but even now probably, but growing up, they need protection because there's a lot of people wanting to hurt them, a lot of predators out there. So you protect your kids. The mother has that inside of you. You have that nurturing, that protecting mechanism inside of you. And I'm not saying as far as sexuality who you are. I'm talking about roles. So you have a mother who nurtures. And nurtures, that's my new word coming out. Nurtures. And in scripture, the church is the mother. You see, the church is the bride of Christ. So the church's role is to nurture the babies and to nurture those who inside the church as the children. That's the role of the mother, the church. The role of the father is different, and that's God. So the mother takes the baby, they begin to slowly remove. Ever felt a thorn prick you in the nest? Yeah. Begin to remove some of those things, and then the mother does something. She takes the baby on her back for a ride. She puts the baby in the back. She goes, I'm going to show you what it looks like to fly. And she flies all over the place. And the baby was like, this is kind of cool. I'm going up and down. This is kind of cool. The church does that. We say, this is what it's going to be like with God. You're going to go through these things in life with God. And then all of a sudden, the mother does something that the baby probably will never understand until it's a parent. It flips upside down, and the baby begins to fall. He's not happy at that point. What is this? He's flapping his wings, and sometimes it works. I can fly. But sometimes they keep going down. But that's when in Deuteronomy it talks about this. The father is watching the entire process and will swoop down, and he's so skilled, he will time it perfectly to where the baby will fall on top of his back, and he carries the baby. And they keep doing that process over and over again until the baby learns how to fly. So the church is here to help nurture. But God, at one point, we're going to turn you upside down. Because God's telling us, okay, it's time. It's time to learn things on your own. And that's when it's you and God completely. So that's one step. And then we go into the eagle's eyes. We talked about the eagle's eyes, how they have what's called visual acuity. They can see further. So the higher you get, the more detailed you see. So the higher you're flying, eagles flying, they see better as they go higher. It's the same thing with God. As you go higher with God, your vision begins to get clearer with him. So that's another thing that the eagles have. They also have two sets of eyelids. So the first set is a regular set of eyelids. It's there to protect the eye. But the second set is to look cool. The second set is a special shade that comes down and allows an eagle, when it's being chased by a predator, to block the sun. So they look for the sun and they fly directly into the sun, any kind of a bird chasing them, any kind of a animal going toward them is blinded by the sun, but the eagle can go right toward the sun. So it has two sets of eyelids, which I think is so cool. That's your spiritual eye. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. So faith is going to be your spiritual sunglasses that you have. When you walk by faith, you're walking blindly, possibly. You may not be seeing things, but you're walking toward the light source, which is God. I don't see God what's taking place, but I'm going to trust you're going to be in this. That's walking by faith and not by sight. Have you ever had to do that? Have you ever wondered why God just doesn't give you a road map and tell you everything that's going to take place? I have the answer. You want to know the answer? Because his grace is only sufficient for today. See, he's not going to give you grace for tomorrow until tomorrow's here. Otherwise, we would plan our whole life out and try to live in that grace. And he's like, no, my mercies are new every morning. So every day, I have to do this sometimes when I think about things I'll be facing in the future. I have to say, I can't live in that realm right now because I'm not there yet. I have to live in today and ask God's grace, give me grace for today, and he will do that. But when tomorrow takes place, it's like the manna. Remember the manna? Did you share that? I think Pastor Jeb talked about this. But the manna, he would give manna to the children of Israel to feed them. Have you heard this story before? Okay. So it would rain down. But people like me who think, okay, I can figure this out. I can do this. I would have all kinds of Tupperware ready. And I would be taking the manna and putting the labels of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday so I knew how much I would need the rest of the week so that I wouldn't have to go out every day, right? It's efficiency. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and get all my stuff this day so that I'm done for the rest of the week. And some people tried to do that, so there were people like me there. When they did that, what happened to the manna? Maggots. Maggots are not my favorite thing. Have you ever seen maggots? So this maggots were in there because God was saying, no, I want you to trust me every day. But you don't have to trust me for the entire week until that day is here. So don't think about tomorrow. Don't think about the next day. Today, he's here. Today, his mercies are new. And today, he is giving us manna to feast on today. I'm putting on the wrong glasses now. All right, so that's eagle eyes. And here's a scripture. It's in Matthew 6, 22 through 23. It says, your eyes are the window into your soul. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinting eyes and in greed, lust and distrust, your body is in utter darkness. So if you're squinting your eyes and living in disbelief, that's when we get darkness. But if we open our eyes to God and the window of our soul, we live in light. Do you want to live in light or darkness? Light. So that's the eagle's eyes. We talked about the midlife crisis where the eagle begins to pull out those feathers that are no longer working. I don't like pain. Anybody here like pain? If you do, come see me. We have a counseling session after church. I don't like pain. Who likes pain? When I was in Bible college, we went to a leper colony in Louisiana. They have, I think there's two in the country. One happens to be in Carville, Louisiana. And we went to a leper colony. And I will never forget this man. He changed my life because he couldn't see. He had leprosy. And a lot of times it affects their vision. And he had little limbs on his hand. Didn't even have full fingers. And he said, young man, I guess he thought, he couldn't see me, but I guess he thought I was young by my voice. I don't know. When he was in college, he said, young man, I'm going to tell you one thing you need to be thankful for every day, pain. He said, oh, I wish I could feel pain because leprosy had affected his fingers so much he could not feel any pain. And he's burned himself when he was cooking. He touches or he rubs his hands to the nubs. And he said, if I felt pain, I would have my hand left. So it's okay to feel pain. It's part of the process. But the eagle will take parts of its old feathers and rip them out because they no longer work. And in its place, new feathers will grow. And he goes and he gets a new set of feathers. And then this is what I wanted to focus on today. This is the new stuff. There's eagle has an average of, now this is, a bald eagle has an average of 7,500 feathers. That's a lot of feathers. So if he ripped out all of those feathers, that was a lot of feathers to rip out. It takes 40 days for those feathers to grow back, which I think is really cool. That's 40 numbering God. And he's got new feathers. But the eagle does something when he has his feathers that a lot of birds do, and it's called preening. Have you ever heard of preening? No? Yes, you have. So what preening is the eagle, it takes a long time, and it does it every morning. He will begin to take its feather, each feather inside of its beak, and he will take it, and he'll almost steam clean that feather with his breath. He'll blow in that feather, and then take the next one, and he'll steam clean each feather. It's so important because the day before, he may have been flying. It might be very dirty. There also may be parasites inside those feathers, like mites. And in this process, it gets rid of all of those things. God wants us to do that every day. He wants us to get rid of some of the things that we may have come into contact with. So you're on Facebook, and you're seeing a post that maybe you don't like. You must be suffering a lot through this whole process. She has a heart as big as, I'll say Texas for your Texans, as big as huge heart for everyone. And when I first met you, I don't remember this, years ago when you came to my office, I said, I never really met you, but I said, oh, you're an advocate. I just knew you were an advocate for anyone who's had injustice done to them. And so, a little secret, keep fighting, because we need more people like you to fight. A little secret, every day, preen your feathers from stuff that people have said to you. Because otherwise, it'll affect your flight. It'll affect how high you can go. It'll affect how strong you can be. It'll affect how powerful you can actually be and what God's given you to be. So preen your feathers. And the eagle does it with its breath. Who's the breath of God? Holy Spirit. He came as a mighty rushing wind in Acts chapter 2. And then not only does he clean those feathers with his breath, there is a gland, an oil gland, inside of his beak, in his mouth, that secretes, and he coats the feathers with oil every day. This keeps them waterproof. So if it's raining, if there's things coming at the eagle, a lot of the rain will bounce off because of the preening. Who's the oil of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit, God. So he's your breath, and he's your oil. So every morning, preen your feathers, because God gives us grace for today. In 1 John 2:20, it says, you have an anointing from above, and his name is the Holy Spirit. So know who you are. There's a story of a little eaglet. He was in a nest, high in a tree, and he fell out of the nest. Happened to be on a farm, and he fell into this area with chickens. How many of you grew up on a farm? Oh, you did? Where at? Oh, Monroe, Georgia. And you, in the back, you did as well. Where at? In Illinois? Illinois, that's what I thought. Okay. So if you grew up on a farm, I actually had no idea that chickens even were. I thought you shot chickens out of the sky when I was growing up. I grew up in New Orleans in the city, so I'm like, I just knew they were in the store. So, but you learn a lot from that. But this little chicken falls. He's on a farm in a tree, and he falls into an area with a chicken coop. That has chicken coops, and so it's like where the rooster and all roam around, right? So he's young, and stories, I don't know if this is true or not. We can't ask the chicken, but we've heard this. It's probably not true, but it's a great story. And so the other chickens begin to take care of him. So he begins to mimic the actions of the chickens. He walks on the ground, and he picks at the dirt. You know, whatever chickens eat, that's what he's doing. Until one day, he sees a group of eagles flying overhead. And he's like, wow, I wish I could soar like an eagle. And he's thinking, but I'm a chicken. Look at all of these things. It can't be true because the other eagles. Anyway, he said, I wish I could soar like an eagle, and begins to spread his wings. And all of a sudden, a gust of wind comes, and he begins to soar like an eagle. See, it took seeing what he really was instead of being what he told he was. If you hang around chickens all your life, you're going to be scared of everything. Chickens are chicken, chicken, chicken. You know, as a kid, you were called chicken. because you were scared. Chickens are fearful. They run around. They're nervous animals, scared of everything, and they're vulnerable to everything. If you hang around people who are chickens, you're going to be a chicken. If you hang around peacocks, let me tell you, peacocks like to show off their feathers. Woo! They, beautiful tail. We've had people who come here who are, right, Pastor Deb, who are very talented. I mean, talented. Schools that are great with music, talented. And so they come in with these degrees and they come in with these wonderful talents, and all of a sudden, but their heart's not about worship. The hearts are about being seen. I've heard great preachers who are great orators, and it's not about the spirit, it's about how good they preach. Those things fade. But let me tell you, if you're an eagle, it's different because you're hanging around with the Holy Spirit instead of chickens or peacocks. Then you have those who are the parrots. Now, the parrots just repeat what everybody else says. God is good. His mercies are new every morning. I heard Pastor Deb say that. But they just repeat. They'll also repeat, oh, God, this is horrible, or God is bad. I mean, they're going to repeat anything that they've said. God doesn't want you to repeat what your parents have told you. He doesn't want to repeat what your grandparents have said. He wants you to repeat what his word says and what the Bible says, that he is good and his mercies endure forever, that you were created in his image and you were fearfully and wonderfully made. That's who God says you are. Begin to say that instead of what people have said. If you're needing affirmation from other people, you're in the bad place because they were not capable to affirm you into who you really are, but God is. And his word is full of affirmations every day. I saw one person on Instagram. He's a little gay guy. I've done travel agents. I'm a travel agent. So I booked a destination wedding about 2 years ago for this frantic bride that was desperately needing hotels booked and everything done. And so she came to me. She said, "Somebody said you're really good, and the one I had was really bad, and I need your help." And I'm like, "Okay, first, calm down. Second, tell me what you need." And she says, "I just need to have all these rooms booked, and I need somebody to plan my wedding." I'm like, "That's easy to do over there, over in Mexico." So I made some phone calls and I called her and she said, "Okay," I said, "everything set up." And she says, "Okay." So I started, she said, "I'm going to give you the list. You start contacting all of these people on my list. I'll use one phone for everything." So I started calling some of these people on the list and we got all the books. And this one little guy named Seth got my number and I didn't even think about it. When I answered, I said, "Hi, this is Pastor Keith." And he's like, "Oh, I must have the wrong number." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I'm not in the office today. I'm actually working at the church." So he said, "Pastor?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh," he goes, "I used to be in church." I'm like, "Really?" He says, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, I'm a dancer on Norwegian Cruise Line. So I'm like, "Hello, he probably would be gay. That's just thinking. He's a dancer for Norwegian Cruise Line." I said, "Oh." And he says, "My mom's a travel agent." I said, "Where she lives?" He goes, "He's at Atlanta." I'm like, "Oh, so you're from here?" He said, "Yeah, where are you from?" Now, granted, this girl was from Texas. She found me online, and he's calling from Hawaii because he's working Norwegian Pride. Norwegian Pride, isn't that funny? It's called the Norwegian Pride, that ship that goes around those islands. And so long story short is, I became friends with Seth, and so he knows all about the church because of that. And I have no idea how I got to here. But it was great to share with him because he didn't know he could be gay and Christian. And that's what it was. So on Instagram a few days ago, I saw a book of affirmations that he had posted on his Instagram saying, "I'm going to believe what God says about me and not what anybody else says about me." Isn't that awesome? So, and the last thing, so you've got the parrots, you've got the chickens, you've got the peacocks, is the vultures. And I mentioned this. Vultures look very much like eagles from a distance. They're the same size, the same shape. As a matter of fact, I shared about two of my friends in New Orleans that went on Yolan loves eagles. She and her wife was going to take her to go eagle sighting, and she loves eagles. And so they went to Texas to go look for eagles, and she said it was very cold. A cold front had come through, and they were all bundled up looking for these eagles, and they saw them. They saw a group of them flying together in a circle. And she says, and we began to take pictures of these eagles flying together in a circle. And they kept getting lower and lower to the ground. And then they went to the ground and started eating something on the ground. And that's when it dawned on them, these are probably not eagles. They're probably vultures eating roadkill. And they were. They look so much alike until you see what they actually feed on. You see, eagles feed on things that are alive. Vultures feed on things that are dead. And the eagle was feeding on things of life, while the vulture is feeding on things of death. Real example of how you can be an eagle. Feed on what God is saying about you. Feed on his word. Feed on worship music. Want to be a vulture? Feed on politics. Feed on fear. Feed on greed. You feed on, or feed on gossip. Feed on hate. Those are things that are death. This is what we feed on, things that are life. You understand the difference? As a matter of fact, vultures sometimes, because they don't know, they don't really care. I'm going to ask Pastor Dev, you'll come up for a minute. Vultures don't actually know how long roadkill has been on the side of the road. It could be fairly fresh, or it could be really, really old. And sometimes those vultures feed on a carcass that has been there for days, and it's actually fermented, and it says they get drunk. Vultures actually get drunk feeding on something that has decayed, so drunk to where they get disoriented and get killed often because they don't move out of the way of a car coming. They're that drunk. Do you know how spiritually that is so in line with things that can take place? We feed on things that are so death that we get drunk and you get lethargic, and all of a sudden the devil's just set you up to be rolled over. God is not like that. God wants to give you life and life abundantly. So today, be an eagle. Don't be a parrot to just repeat things that have been told to you. Don't be a peacock just to show everybody how good and how talented you are and beautiful. Don't be a vulture feeding on dead things, but be an eagle. For his word says, they that wait, join up together, bind themselves to God, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Would you stand with me for a second? If you feel like you are feeling weary, if you feel like you are feeling like you need that touch from the Lord, I'm going to open the altar. Pastor Jonathan, I'll ask if you'll come up. We'll pray with you. If you just say, you know what, I just need to hear God's voice, we'll pray with you as well. But know one thing, that he wants to speak to you. If you need direction, we'll pray with you. Tracy, would you come and pray with me? I mean, for people. She's walked through a lot of things in her life, and God has given her amazing testimony. And so, we'll just start worshiping. And if you need prayer, come up and then we'll close with another type of song.